Good morning, my friends, and welcome to a tremendously momentous installment of Weekend Update. From very, very high above, all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, for 4 years and 600 episodes, this is and will continue to be Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and very definitely permanently ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Saturday. The Lord works in very mysterious ways, my friends. If you would have asked me 10 years ago if I would be sitting behind a microphone talking to you on Wyoming's most listened to political podcast, I probably would have said, "You're out of your mind." 10 years ago, I hadn't even moved home back to the great state of Wyoming yet. I was still living on our country's other left coast, in a state that I should have done a lot more research on before I moved there, working a job where I had a significantly higher salary than I did in Wyoming, but taking home less money than I did living in the cowboy state. I'm actually not kidding about that. I got a 20% raise to transfer jobs to Virginia, and I brought home less money. What was that I was saying about doing your own research? Yeah, in that case, I definitely should have done mine. So anyway, I was working my tail off and riding my Harley whenever I had free time. Never in a million years would I have thought that I would be the voice behind the silver microphone. Nonetheless, my friends, here I am, the most listened to podcast in the great state of Wyoming. Today, this episode is, drumroll please, the 600th episode of Cowboy State Politics. Episodes, 234,000 downloads. Living rent-free in every redcoat's head, this is Cowboy State Politics. And I have to say, my friends, thank you very much for listening. I couldn't do any of this without you. You've made this program the most listened-to podcast in Wyoming history. That actually happened a while ago, but I figured since we were talking about milestones, we should most definitely mention it. And here's one thing, among many, that you should be very proud of. There are so many stories that I do on Cowboy State Politics that I see listeners taking the information that they've learned from the program and then doing their own research and then using it in their own communities. Let me just give you an example of that. The Wyoming Education Association's Safe and Just Schools cadre. It was Cowboy State Politics that broke that story, and I'm sure the Wyoming Education Association didn't have any qualms about putting that on their website because of the compliant left-leaning Wyoming media. They didn't even think that somebody in the media would grab a hold of that and point out the socialist fist in their logo. Nor did they have the first clue that anybody in the media would notice that the Wyoming Education Association was openly admitting that they were training teachers how to become activists. For me, that was a pretty good find. At the time, 2 years ago, I didn't have near the amount of contacts that I do now. Discovering that little gem was a treasure trove for me. I had so much fun exposing that and doing that episode. But really, it was what happened afterwards that was truly amazing. No, the lamestream Wyoming media didn't pick it up. They were doing their best to ignore me at the time. But all of you did pick it up. The logo with the socialist fist on it started showing up on Facebook in different groups. It was shown to school boards, and school boards were held to account and made to answer if they supported this type of thing coming out of the Wyoming Education Association. It was truly enjoyable to watch, my friends. Though I didn't mention it on the program at that time, I had a couple of school board members from various counties across the state reach out to me and insist that their individual school board was not in support of this behavior coming out of the Wyoming Education Association, trying their best to exonerate their individual school district from what they saw as the ensuing controversy. Good job, my friends. Good job. It was at that moment that it became clear to me how important our relationship is. So thank you. Thank you for that. We've been doing it for 600 episodes, and we're going to do it for 600 more. On with the program. I began today's episode telling you a little bit about my life in Virginia. Let me finish where I was going with that story. 10 years ago, I really wasn't paying that much attention to politics. Oh, like many people, I paid attention to national politics, but didn't give any of my attention to what was going on in the state. After all, Virginia was not my home. And then the 2014 midterm elections came around. I was working that Tuesday, so I had to take off on my lunch break to go vote. And it wasn't until I got there that I realized I had left my wallet at the house. I decided that I was already there and had already wasted half my lunch break, so I may as well just go up and talk to them. So I asked a couple of very nice ladies sitting at the table right up in front what I needed to vote. And the lady told me, well, you have to have a picture ID. And I said, unfortunately, I forgot my wallet at the house this morning. And she asked, well, do you have anything else, any other form of identification? And I kind of chuckled and said, the only thing I have is a chintzy company ID that was handed to me this morning. Now, the company ID, in quotation marks, that I'm referring to, only was a piece of paper that had been laminated with my picture on it and the employee ID number. It wasn't even an actual ID card, just a laminated piece of paper. So I handed it to her, and she actually said, oh, well, this'll work just fine. A laminated piece of paper that I could have very well produced on my own home computer was enough to allow me to vote. Now, some would argue that we have to have the most open voter laws possible, that we have to make it as easy as possible to vote. But let me ask you this. How easy would it be for a whole bunch of people to print up a bunch of fake IDs and laminate them in their home office and then use them to try to sway an election? Well, with my experience voting in Virginia, that would be pretty easy. In Wyoming of 2024, that stupid fake ID, or whatever it was that my company was calling it, would not work at a polling location. And that's a good thing. But there are some in this state that say that even that law, that you have to produce some sort of identification, is way too restrictive. There are some, like Joan Barron of the Pravda on the Platte, she's saying that those laws and any law that suggests you have to prove that you have a residence in your particular precinct, in your particular county, to vote, well, that's too restrictive also. She claims that voter fraud just doesn't happen in Wyoming. And Joan Barron is not alone. There's Nancy Case. Listen to what he said on the floor of the Wyoming Senate.
I've been trying to think who's out there trying to cheat our elections in Wyoming. Who's waking up real early in the morning and thinking they're going to get to the polls before the actual person that's registered to vote is there to misrepresent themselves as that person and to cast a vote? I'm just having a little bit of trouble understanding how this fraud comes about.
To hear Joan Barron and Nancy Case tell it, voter fraud just doesn't happen in Wyoming. There's only been two or three cases in the last few years. And so really, there's no need for all of these voter integrity measures. No need whatsoever to prove that you actually live where you say that you live. From the Pravda on the Platte, Joan Barron, and I quote, "The dust-up over the Secretary of State's proposed new voter rule is the same bubbling up in other red states. Supporters say the purpose of the mirror rules is to be sure Wyoming elections are free from fraud. this contention is ridiculous on its face. Wyoming has a remarkable record of only 3 confirmed cases of fraud in recent history. Wyoming's voter problem instead has been low voter turnout, particularly among young eligible citizens. End quote. Now, any intelligent person, presumably like someone who's worked at a newspaper for over 20 years, now I realize that that's a big assumption, but an intelligent person might say, well, maybe the reason why we don't have documented cases of voter fraud is because we're not catching them. I'll explain why after a completely obscene profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or maybe something larger, like a big giant warehouse for your business, the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. They are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. So it doesn't matter what your building needs are, call Nick and Jesse. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. I know that it's February now, but that doesn't mean you can't start thinking about camping. It's true. There's no better cure for the winter doldrums than devising your first camping trip of the spring. Well, the first step in doing that is making sure that your camper is ready to go. The people you should talk to about that are Young's Camper Repair over in Worland. Tim and Tammy Young do an incredible job at fixing your camper, and they're one of the only people in the state of Wyoming that does it. And get this, if it's way too inconvenient for you to take your camper to them, they'll come to you. So it doesn't really matter what problem you've got going on with your camper. Give Tim and Tammy a call. Their phone number is 307-431-8110. Again, that phone number is 307-431-8110, or you can send them an email. The address is youngscamperrepair@gmail.com. Make sure that your camper's ready to go, and you don't have to worry about anything before you hook it up. The following advertisement was paid for by Reed Raisner for Senate. Who's the leader for the Senate? It's Reed Raisner. He's the one for you and me. Cheer his name so happily. R-A-S-N-E-R. What's his name? Reed Raisner. R-A-S-N-E-R. What's his name? Reed Raisner. Reed Raisner for the Senate. With the voice so strong and true. Bringing change term limits to Reed Raisner's here for you. And now, back to the program. Oh, excuse me. Joan Barron says confirmed cases of voter fraud. And that, my friends, is the big red herring. All of these people who are opponents to Chuck Gray's new proposed rules that you verify where your residence is are only citing confirmed cases of voter fraud and then extrapolating that out to say there is no voter fraud. Well, just because you're not catching them doesn't mean there isn't a crime being committed. But therein lies another problem. There have been absolutely proven cases of voter fraud that prosecutors have refused to take up. Now, I have a question. What's the very first thing you're asked when you enter a polling location? Do you still live at the same address? That's really not that difficult of a question to answer. Huh. Then why do some people have difficulty answering that question? Maybe like House 43 Representative Dan Zwanitzer. It was absolutely 100% proven by this program that Representative Dan Zwanitzer fraudulently voted in a September 2021 tax election in Laramie County. The address listed on his voter registration at the time of his voting was a house he had sold 7 months prior. Somebody new was living there. Now, the reason why he hadn't changed his voter registration is because Dan Zwanitzer was not living in House District 43 any longer. He was living in House District 10 at a property that he bought right outside the border of his district. Had Dan Zwanitzer changed his voter registration, he would have had to vacate his seat in the Wyoming legislature. The Laramie County Attorney's Office refused to prosecute this case of voter fraud, and thus, it doesn't appear on Joan Barron's list of confirmed cases of voter fraud in Wyoming. If you're curious, a voter registration history report provided by the Laramie County Clerk covering the time period in question is available at cowboystatepolitics.com. There's also a treasure trove of all the documents proving that Representative Dan Zwanitzer is indeed guilty of voter fraud. Property deeds showing that he sold the property the previous February before he voted in that September election. There's advertisements from real estate websites showing that 521 Cottonwood is entirely vacant, even while Dan Zwanitzer claimed he was living there. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there, but it's on the website. It's absolute proof that voter fraud does happen in Wyoming and that we're not prosecuting it. It absolutely shows that Joan Barron is 100% wrong in her op-ed in the Pravda on the Platte. Voter fraud is a problem in Wyoming, way more than any of these redcoats are willing to admit. Let me give you another example. Homeless people. Certainly, they have a right to vote as well. Your right to vote is not taken away from you simply because you don't have a home. So how are those folks registered to vote? Well, their place of residence on many voter registration cards is listed as the county courthouse or the town hall. According to Wyoming statute, that is absolutely voter fraud. Now, let me tell you why that's a little problematic. First of all, you can't live at a county courthouse. That's filing a false document. And in many cases in Wyoming, that's being done by county clerks. Secondly, it's padding the voter rolls of the precinct where the county courthouse happens to be. That practice can affect all sorts of different races. Here's president of the Wyoming County Clerks Association, Malcolm Irvin, admitting it.
Precinct and split, how do you guys know which ballot to give a person that doesn't have an address?
Yeah, it's a super good question. And, you know, historically it's been at the courthouse. So if they are in the county seat, it's in the courthouse. But like in Platte County, if they were in Guernsey, we'd put them in. Yes. Town hall. And that's something we've had a lot of discussion about.
Let me give you a third reason why there's probably way more voter fraud than Joan Barron wants to admit. Wyoming and or Wyoming County clerks do not clean up the voter rolls like the statute says they're supposed to. During the 2022 election, I personally went through the voter rolls of Johnson County because I was running for election and found multiple properties wherein upwards of three previous property owners were registered to vote. While that doesn't necessarily prove that there was a whole bunch of people voting from previous addresses, it does bring up the possibility that they could. They could pull the exact same gag that Dan Zwanitzer did. Yeah, I haven't changed my address. And then they're allowed to go vote. The truth is that voter fraud does happen. Whether we're prosecuting it or not is another matter entirely, but it absolutely does happen in Wyoming. The only reason why everyone says there have only been three confirmed cases of voter fraud is they are frankly not looking at the facts, and they're absolutely in favor of padding the voter rolls with as many voters as possible. Now, we certainly don't want to discourage people from voting, nor do we want to make it more confusing or complicated to go vote, which is the other claim that Joan Barron makes in her article. And I quote, "The current rule being offered here by Secretary of State Chuck Gray just adds to the identification items required when voters go to the polls. Yet it could be just enough to discourage even more voters from going to the polls in the first place or failing to return to the polls if they've been sent home to fetch another piece of evidence of their eligibility. Elderly voters are most likely to quit voting if it gets too time-consuming or complicated." End quote. In other words,
Wyoming voters are just too stupid to figure out how to prove that they live where they say they live. It seems to me that if you're able to provide all of the documentation necessary to receive a Social Security check, then you can darn sure figure out how to provide evidence of your primary residence. Honestly, Joan, it's not that complicated, and stop insulting Wyoming citizens. Well, that'll do it for the 600th installment of Cowboy State Politics. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday during Morning Reload. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.